So think about those words from God the Father for just a moment. You are my beloved son and daughter. With you I am well pleased. I believe God the Father wants all of us to receive that word tonight. We are his beloved sons and daughters. So what we learn on this feast, this is the feast of the baptism of Jesus, and there are a couple of things we have to sort of get out of the way right away. One is that Jesus did not need to be baptized, right? We all know this. Jesus was without sin. He did not need to be baptized. So why in all four Gospels do we have this recorded that Jesus was baptized? Well, Jesus himself answers in Matthew's Gospel, I think, where he says, to fulfill all righteousness. And what Jesus is, one of the ways to understand that is that Jesus was giving us an example of what we need to do. Jesus did not need to be baptized. However, we, all of us, need to be baptized. And also, another thing to think about is for Jesus, in all four Gospels, this is the like the launching point of his ministry. This is where he begins his public ministry, is after his baptism. So it says something to us about what our baptism should mean for us. It should be the center, the focal point, and the launch pad for all that God wants us to do in life. Now the thing is, I would bet that in here, 98% of us were baptized as infants. And so how many of us remember our baptism? Not many. If before Mass, I was speaking with Father, and I told him I was going to talk about our baptism, because that's really what Jesus, that this gospel points us to. And Father said right away, what's the date of your baptism? And fortunately, I remembered, because it is something that we should have recorded, more important in a certain sense than our birthday. We all know our birthday. Nobody forgets their own birthday. But how about looking up and finding and remembering and celebrating the day that you were baptized, because it's the day that you were born again. And I'm going to talk more about that. So that's a little project that I'll ask you to consider working on. Find the date that you were baptized and celebrate it in some way. So Jesus was baptized not because he needed to be baptized, but to show us what we needed to do. He's our model and our example. So I'm going to speak really about our baptism, what our baptism really means. We probably, because it was so long ago and most of us were babies, we don't remember it. And because we don't remember it, we probably don't think about it very often. But here's the thing. We should think about our baptism. We should meditate upon it. It is one of the most important, if not the most important event of our lives. So tonight, I hope I can get us more excited. I'm excited about my baptism. Mine actually is coming up soon. I was baptized in February. And so we should all be excited about our baptism and make it relevant for our life today. So here's what happens in the baptism rite. And many of you have probably witnessed or been part of baptisms. There's a lot that happens, but I'm just going to point out a few things. Now, most of us, when we think of baptism, because of the pouring of the water and that symbolism, we think that baptism is primarily a cleansing from sin, and it is a cleansing from sin, but baptism is much, much more than that. It doesn't end with just the cleansing from all sin, original sin, plus any sins that have been committed. We die to our old self, and we rise to new life. There's the part of baptism that we don't think about as often. St. Paul says this in his letter to the Romans, we were buried, therefore, with him, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. St. Paul taught in a number of places that in baptism, we die with Christ. We die to our old life. The old life of sin is put to death, and we rise to new life. St. Paul also talks about being grafted onto the vine. You know, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Well, we're not born connected to the vine. And so baptism is the sacrament where we are connected to Jesus Christ, the source of all life. And if you remember John chapter 15, Jesus talks in that metaphor of the tree and the branches. He says, look, if the branch is cut off, it dies. And so Jesus is the source of our life, and we have to do everything we can to remain connected to him. And baptism is where we are first connected to the vine. It's where we become an adopted son or daughter of God. And we hear that beautiful voice of the Father, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you I am well pleased." And that dying to our old nature, you know, one of the reasons we may not think about that as an aspect of baptism is because we don't do too many immersion baptisms. You know, in the Catholic Church, we can do immersion baptisms. We can do baptism that way, or we can do it with pouring. Most people choose pouring. But there's a few people that have asked me for an immersion baptism, even for an infant. I baptized an infant 3 weeks old, and the parents, very devout and excited Catholics, wanted their baby to be baptized by immersion. So back in that font, lifted up my alb and climbed in, and they handed me the baby. I had practiced, you know, not with a real baby, but I practiced what it was going to be like. And I had this great plan. I was going to take the baby and just slide it through the water, you know, like this, and just let the water get to the top of the forehead. And name of the Father, and the name of the Son, baptize you in the name of the Son. I'm doing great so far. The water's coming up to about here. Well, when I got to the Holy Spirit, I put the baby completely under. And you know how things go into slow motion when you've done something wrong? The baby's eyes just went like, what? They just opened up and looked at me from underwater. I'm looking at these giant eyes, and I thought, this is going to be bad when I bring this baby out, because I know what's coming next. So the baby comes out, sure enough, lets out an enormous cry. I looked at the mother. She got a little teary-eyed, and I thought, now I'm really in trouble. Well, here's the most amazing thing. I talked to her after the baptism, and I apologized. And I said, "I'm sorry if I upset you by putting your three-week-old baby underwater." And she said, "No, that's not why I was starting to cry. I was starting to cry because that cry that the baby made was the exact cry I heard 3 weeks ago when he was born." And so that is why baptism, immersion, it symbolizes the reality. Now, every baptism does this, whether you're pouring or immersing. Baptism, the reality is we've died to our old self, the life of sin, and we've come to life in Christ. What a beautiful and amazing sacrament it is. It's a miracle. I'm so blessed that I get to be a part of it. And what we're given in baptism is grace. Now, you could give a whole homily on this. I'm not going to get way into the theology of grace, but grace is simply the power that God gives us to live the life that he calls us to live. You know, God doesn't just say, "Go and follow these commandments. Good luck. I hope you can do it." He gives us the power to do it. And it's called grace. And in baptism, we're given all of the sanctifying grace that we need for our entire life. It's like an account. What do you call those things? An account where when you're a trust fund, where you just, it's there, but you have to access it. And that's what we need to do throughout life. We need to open up that account and draw from the grace that was given to us in baptism. Grace is very real and it's very powerful. And it helps us live the life that God wants us to live. And for many of us, because we haven't thought about our baptism, and I'm guilty of this, I don't think about my baptism every day, a lot of times we don't access the grace that's available to us in that sacrament. It's an unrealized and unopened gift. And God wants us to ask for the grace of our baptism throughout life. He wants us to live by that grace. We received something of incredible value in our baptism. We just have to learn to access it. And we get that grace, first of all, by asking for it. And second of all, by cooperating with God. God gives it to us as we need it. And if we choose to follow the Lord Jesus closely and serve him and do our part and live the life he's called us to live, he pours more and more grace upon us. Grace is, it's like cyclical. The more we ask for it and the more we cooperate, the more we get. And then we ask for more and we get more and we serve the Lord. It's a great cycle that we should find ourselves in. Now, I just want to leave you with sort of a metaphor that helps me understand a little more about baptism. Baptism is sort of like marriage, okay? It's like an arranged marriage. If you're baptized as an infant, you didn't really choose to be baptized. It was arranged for you, just like in the old days when they used to arrange marriages. But if, for a marriage to really work well, husband and wife need to leave behind their old life, and they now have one life together, right? They have to leave behind. That's why we have that scripture in Genesis where it says a man must leave his, man and woman leave their families and they become one. You have to leave something behind to get something new. And in marriage, for it to work well, you have to focus on the other person. You can't focus on yourself. You have to live self-sacrificially for that other person. That's what makes a marriage good and healthy. Well, the same is for living our baptism. In baptism, we were married to Jesus Christ. We were covenant married to him. And we have to leave behind our old life. You know, we can't go out and play golf every day or do something fun. You know, we have to leave behind our old life. We have to leave behind the sins and focus on pleasing the Lord. Jesus needs to be the center and focus of our life. We have to live that new life that St. Paul talks about. He says also in Romans, anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And we must be faithful to our spouse, the Lord Jesus. That's what we do that in baptism. We have to be faithful to the Lord. And if we fail, and we all do, we repent. Just like in marriage. If we make a mistake, we offend the other person, we repent. That makes a strong marriage. It makes the strong Catholic life. So I have a homework assignment. Father Joe's gotten me interested in this since he gives you guys a homework assignment every week. I put on the St. Elizabeth Ann Seton website, it's also in Friday's flock note, a little meditation on how to renew and rekindle the flame of your baptism. Let's call it that. And so it could take as little as 5 minutes. It could take as long as you want. But it's a little meditation. It's a few scriptures, a few questions to ask yourself. And the point is to get us thinking about our baptism, about the miracle it was, about all we received in that sacrament, and so that it is something we is very relevant to us today and that we're living out our baptism. So I encourage you to go on the website, and it's a meditation on renewal of baptismal promises. And let the Lord rekindle the flame of his love within you. The Lord wants to rekindle in all of us this miracle of baptism. And let the Lord do that through this meditation. May the Lord bless you.